Welcome to the Reigning in Life podcast with Pastor Mtor. Join Pastor Mtor, the esteemed founder and senior pastor of Intentional Church, as he transforms lives by the Word of God. Get ready to reign in life as you tune in and listen to the transformative teachings. Stay blessed and stay tuned.
Whatever the need, be self-sufficient, not dependent on the government. People are worried about who's going to be president. I'm not. Because God is able to cause all earthly blessings to come. You understand what I'm saying to you? Possessing enough. Possessing what?
Enough.
So will God make all of us millionaires? No. But will God make all of us possess enough?
Yes.
Yes. If what you need to possess requires to be, for you to be a millionaire, you shall be. If it requires you to be a multimillionaire, you shall be.
Amen.
Requiring, possessing enough to require no aid or support, no grant for a child of God, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable. In other words, God is able to overwhelm you with blessings. You don't need support from anyone, and you are able to meet every need that comes your way. Say, I have more than enough. That's what the Bible calls riches. When you have more than enough. That's riches. Never did God promise to make you millionaires. You promised to supply. So guess what? We will become millionaires because we have said to God, our budget is millions, sir, and you will meet it. If your budget is thousands, you will meet those thousands. Okay? How big do you want to distribute? Next verse, next part of that scripture. Verses 11. Come on, please. Let's go. And God. And who?
God.
Is the church with me this morning?
Yes,
and God who provides seed for the?
Sower.
Not for the eater. He provides what? Seed for the sower. Are you a sower? Then seed will be provided for you. You don't have to hustle for seed. He provides a seed for the sower and bread for it. So God doesn't just give you to be a giver. He also satisfies what you need. Most people are focused on the bread. They've neglected the seeds. For it will also provide. God will provide. He will multiply your resources. What will God multiply? Kia, come on. What will God multiply?
My resources.
For what? For sowing. Why is God multiplying your resources? If you are a sower, God will multiply the things you have to sow. If you noticed your seeds have been reducing, it's because you are not a sower. God knows you fry the seeds and you make popcorn. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. Ne? He'll multiply your resources for sowing and increase the fruits of your righteousness, which manifests in active goodness, kindness, and charity. He will multiply your resources. Does someone want resources multiplied? In these 10 times, will you give a car? Because God is going to multiply it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Will you give a phone? Because God is going to multiply them. You see, listen to me, this 10 times multiplication is God multiplying your seeds for sowing, not for hoarding. Help me get that point across to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor,
yeah.
It's for sowing,
not hoarding.
It's for sowing. The reason God is multiplying us is for sowing, not hoarding. Not looking at your bank account, but you've got nothing on the ground. Does that make sense? Oh, praise the Lord, Pastor. Praise God. You know, I've got X amount in the bank account. How much do you have on the ground? How much seed do you have sown? Yeah. We're not impressed by how much you're keeping. Yeah. Do you remember the rich fool who built big barns and said, my soul, you have more than enough to eat for many years. Rest. Hello?
Yes,
you remember that scripture? And God came to him and said, you rich fool, tonight your soul will be required for you. And whose will all this thing be? Life is for distribution, not for hoarding. Don't hoard your gift. Don't hoard your seeds. Distribute them. Hallelujah. What must you do? So I'm going to Strand today for our second service. I'm distributing the seed of the Word of God. You understand? Yeah, life is not for hoarding. In the evening, I'm in Cape Town distributing the seed of the Word. Don't hoard the seed that God has given you. Yeah. Yeah. Have you noticed it? The month when you refuse to give an offering and you say that this is my last money, that month never ends. Have you noticed it? Have you noticed? Have you been there? Whereby you're like, no, things are tight this month, therefore I can't even. Offering time, you let the basket pass by. You are even angry. You go to the bathroom during offering. It's my transport money. Have you been there? How did that month finish? You were huffing and puffing. Right? But have you ever been at the same point, but you distributed, you gave? You notice that you don't even feel how the month ended.
Yes,
have you been there?
Yes,
are you really, have you been there?
Yes, sir.
Because some of you are saying yes, like. Have you been there? Yes. Whereby the month you didn't give, things became, it's like things just don't want to move. But the month you gave, you didn't even notice how things went. Have you been there? Because
yes,
God causes grace to come. Yeah, because God causes grace to come. Hallelujah. Genesis 28, verses 13 to 22. It's a long reading, but God comes to Jacob, and he says, Jacob, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to keep you on the way that you're going, right? And then Jacob was like, and then because I'll prosper you, I'll bring you back to this land. And Jacob was like, God, if you keep me on the way that you're going, this is a partnership. If you bless me, you give me clothes to wear and food to eat. God just told the guy, I'm going to keep you, I'm going to take care of you. And the guy comes, God, if you do your part, I will also do my part, and I'll also pay tithe. You understand? In other words, Jacob is saying, God, if you bless me, I will be a blessing to what matters to you. He didn't have a preacher preaching to him, so that it's tithe. Manthen bazalwane. If you don't tithe, things are tight. He didn't need all those clever sounding words. You understand what I'm saying to you? He just realized, like, was like, God, partner with me. If you take care of me where I'm going, I will take care of what matters to you. Don't ask me where you paid tithe. The Bible doesn't say it. Okay? But we believe you paid tithe at a point. We don't know how. But you see, later on, the law came for God then to teach us how to pay tithe. That's why the law came, to teach us how to do certain things. So now we know that tithe doesn't go to SPCA. Tithe doesn't go to Red Cross. Tithe doesn't go to my school. Tithe doesn't go to the poor on the streets. You try to be clever, you will join them one day. You see, because God is not mocked. You understand what I'm saying to you? Where should the tithe come to? He says, bring the tithe. Listen, is it not the one who created the tithing system who has the right to tell us where we tithe? And so where now? Did you create the tithing system? Did you create the tithing system? So why do you want to have an opinion on where tithing goes? Do you have an opinion on where tax goes to? Why? Because you didn't create the tax system. Yeah, you just grew up, they told you there's something called SARS. You must give them their money or else they'll put you in prison. But you see, God is not going to threaten you with prison in the New Testament. But you see, it's your response. God is looking, but no, if you can't tithe from this 1,000 rand that I gave you, you'll not tithe from 1,000,000. Most Christians have it backwards. You say that, God, if you bless me, you make me a millionaire, the first 100,000 I'll give to church. It's a lie. Do you know what 100,000 is? Maybe you have not seen what 100,000 in your bank account is. Do you know what 100,000 is in your bank account? No. Oh, you know what 100,000 is there in your bank account? And you have to give it as an offering. You'll start the one, I know, Vela, you know, in church, you know, God understands. Maybe let me do 10,000. Because, you see, God knows human nature. That's why everything that God does with us, he doesn't start us at the deep end. He starts us at the shallow end. He will start training you from, you got 1,000, pay a tithe of 100 rands. Be consistent there. Then he moves you to 10,000, pay a tithe of 1,000. Then he moves you to 50,000, pay a tithe of 5,000. You understand what I'm saying to you? Then you get to millions now because you have been trained. When now you want to say, Lord, test me in this. Lord, I pray, give me 1,000,000, Lord, from my riches. No, God is not going to. God is not going to. If you have a child, do you start them at the deep end?
No, sir.
You start them in small things. And if they become, you start by crawling. Then you begin walking. Then you start running. Hello, somebody. Yeah, the reason your finances are not running, you are failing to walk. Yeah, that 10,000 that you received, did you budget it? And I said, God, give me millions. He will not entrust millions to a person who can't budget 10,000. You don't grow big in order to budget. You budget in order to grow big. If you don't respect budgeting, then your tithing will not work for you. You won't see it. You won't see it. So most Christians are frustrated because, like, I gave my tithe and I got to the shop. It's a lie. It's not true. God showed up and you did not have a budget system for you to see and manage the show-ups of God. Every Christian in this church must operate their finances on a budget system. Yeah. You budget your expenses. You budget your giving. You don't just give haphazardly. You budget, you give strategically. Hello. Yeah, you don't just wake up like you fell from a tree. No. Sunday today. Hey, offering time. No, you should know. I know how much offerings I'm giving this month. Yeah. Yes. We sat down with my wife. I was like, I'm attending 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. These are the number of services. Every service I must give X amount. Okay. It's in the budget. We're moving to a new building, right? We discussed with my wife, this is how our partnership will be. This is how much our partnership will be. He calls her, the spirit can. No, relax. Hey, budget this thing. That's why I can't come and say that, you know, that church, they manipulated us. Because we sat down and we budgeted. Respect yourself. Go draw up a budget. What must you do? Respect yourself. Take yourself seriously. Respect yourself. Draw up a budget and live by the budget. And live by what? Yeah. And can I tell you something? When you do budgeting right, your biggest expense in your budget is your giving. If where you stay right now is more expensive than your giving, let God help you. I said, let God what? Yeah, let God help you and increase you. It's my prayer. It's my fight. May God increase you. How can you pay rent more than you're giving? How? I know for many of us, that's the reality right now. But may God increase you in the name of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Yeah. May God increase you. Please, I beg. May God what? Oh, you don't like my message? I like it. I'm going to keep preaching it. Hallelujah. So Jacob, you see, you want the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Jacob said, Lord, you bless me. I'll pay my tithe. Where did he learn tithing from? His father, Isaac. Where did Isaac learn tithing from? His father, Abraham. Because Abraham was the first person in scripture to pay tithe. Hello. All right now. So you better keep a record. You can't be swiping anytime you feel. You know, Pastor, for me, I'm a foodie. Yeah. Pastor, you know, for me, sometimes I'm stressed and food helps me calm down. Be careful. That's the spirit of poverty wanting to destroy you. Yeah. Yeah. Pastor, for me, I eat, the food is therapeutic. No, it's not. Listen to me. Budget. What must you do?
Budget.
Go and draw up a.
Budget.
You are a student, you get NSFAS. Budget that NSFAS. Yeah, budget that NSFAS. Budget that NSFAS. You are here across Kavanta, you're online, you're watching me. It is not wise to have more selfies than savings. Yeah, it's not wise to have what? More selfies than. If I take some of your phones here, I will discover that you've got 10,000 selfies. I feel prophetic. Even this morning before you came to church, patam, you've got 30 selfies. But if I open your bank account and you've got 10,000 selfies and you don't even have 10,000 rands, something's not right. Your priorities are not those of a person who must increase. Hello? I said hello? Okay, and the people who know about savings, they normally tell you, you should be able to save 3 to 6 months of your living expenses. Huh? How much? If you lose your job today, can you sustain your lifestyle for 3 to 6 months? Can you sustain your lifestyle? For 3 to 6 months, can you sustain your lifestyle? I'm not saying you're going to lose your job. But we're talking about savings and budgeting. If you can, something just happens, there's another lockdown, your work retrenches you. Are you alive for the next 6 months? Or even these 6 hours in between now is too much. Okay? If you honestly can't maintain your current lifestyle for 6 months, then you need to take budgeting seriously. You need to take savings seriously. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, you need to. You need to. I personally refuse to live a lifestyle I can't afford if all things don't work. Yeah, I refuse. Like in Ndiala. People have come, Pastor, we can do this for me. Like, no, relax. Let me do what I can do per time. And so that if you don't do what you say you want to do, I'll be able to do what I wanted to do. Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you. Yeah. Don't do lifestyle infatuation. You're infatuating your lifestyle to appear big. Don't eat your tomorrow trying to impress people today who don't care or who don't matter in your tomorrow. Don't. Don't try to impress people who are not even paying attention. Can I tell you something? People are not thinking about you. So don't depress yourself trying to what? Impress people. Yeah. Live the life that God has blessed you. And as you grow bigger, you know, really live it and then outgrow it. Live it and outgrow it. You don't jump to be tall, you grow to be tall. If you jump to be tall, gravity will pull you down. Yeah. You're a student. Why do you want to act like you are a millionaire? Yeah, no, just eat Gatsby on campus and be happy. You understand? Just eat Gatsby, be happy, keep it easy. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, one day you'll be able to afford what you... Listen to me, one of the easiest ways to depress yourself is always visiting stores you can't afford. Yeah, it's one of the easiest ways to depress yourself. What are you, a student? You know that only NSFAS is your source of income, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, what is it? And you're always visiting Gucci and Zara. One pair of shoes is 7,000. Is that, what are you doing? No, Pastor, we're trimming. Not every week.
Not every week.
Huh?
We enjoy the best of the land.
You enjoy the best of the land. You need to understand right now what is the best for me now. Listen to me. Never move into an apartment which you have to pray to buy to pay rent. There's plenty of apartments in Cape Town you can stay without praying. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying to you? You don't understand? I'm talking to partners here. Almost, eh? Hey, I'm talking to partners here. Nditiguwe, don't buy a car that you must speak in tongues to pay the installment. When now you need miracle. Listen, debit orders are not miracles. Yeah, they're not paid off through miracles. Yeah, that your other comrade bought a Range Rover. Now you also feel like I must also to keep up. Listen to me. Relax, huh? Yeah, relax. Hello? I said what? Relax. You know, I wanted to buy an LED screen for the church. When we got one of the quotations, it was 450,000. I was like, who died? I'm like, am I not a man of faith? I am. No, but right now we're trying to buy property. We're in a different conversation altogether. Yeah. We're in a different conversation altogether. 450,000. You know, if you give me that money and I go to Strand and I buy land, we've got a church building at least in Strand. Pastor, but when Paro, I don't know, but we've got a church building in Strand. We'd rather build and not have it than and not need it. Yeah. Hello, somebody. Yeah. So I'm trying to help some. I hope I'm helping somebody. Yeah. Yeah, I know sometimes this thing can be exciting, but be sincere in your growth. Yeah, don't let excitosis like, praise the Lord 10 times, and then you now find they are 10 times in debt. Budget. What will you do? Yeah, you're always looking for weaves that you can't afford. Yeah, no, it's not a good thing. It's not a... Yeah. You shouldn't own an iPhone if you don't have savings. Yes. What are you iPhoning? Who are you calling? Yeah. If that phone falls and cracks the screen, you are depressed. You can't serve God with enthusiasm. Huh? You can't serve God with what? Rather just get an Android, put your WhatsApp, put your Google, put your GPS, put your Uber. Yeah, done. Yeah. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Oh, but Pastor, you prophesied. Yes, I prophesied them. No, I am prophet managing the prophecy. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yes. Plan big for the future, but manage well where you are. Manage what? Well where you are. Yeah. For you to have an iPhone, but you struggle to have food to eat in your house, is not wisdom. It's not being smart. For you to dress in expensive shoes for a 2-hour service, but you don't have a decent bed to sleep on, is not wisdom. Don't live for show. Am I talking to some partners here? Yeah. Don't live for show. So me, I became happy. Last week, I decided white suits look good on me. I'm just going to wear one white suit, and that's that, and get other white suits. You won't know which ones are white suits. That's it, Nandip. I won't be losing my mind on this suit, black suit. That's it. Bishop Oyedepo does it. I also does it. Amen. Yeah. Yes, white is white. You won't even know how old this suit is because everything fades to white. So we thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Yeah. So we can dedicate other money to other things. The cause. You understand what I'm saying to you? Start to think a bit intentionally. Okay, about your finances. Of course, in the budget, they're spoiling yourself now and again, but you can't live to spoil yourself. Because you'll wake up and you've discovered that you've really spoiled yourself. I'm preaching better than you're saying. Hey, man. Does that make sense? All right now. All right now. Guys, don't get a woman you can't afford. Yes? Listen to me. When you marry wrong, your wife will become your biggest bill. When you marry correctly, your wife becomes your biggest asset. A good woman helps you increase financially. A bad woman helps you reduce financially. Yeah. Don't, Elijah, don't. I'm the folks, Muslim. Don't. Hello? Don't. Listen to me, brothers. You don't have to fake that you're something that you're not in order to win a woman. You fake it to win her, you fake it to sustain it. Yeah. And you are depressing yourself. You're depressing. When I proposed my wife, I told her, I'm a pastor. I'm not planning to be a businessman. I've got no other plan. My plan is to just be a pastor. Are you fine with this? And she was like, yes, I'm fine with that. And then I remember sometime somebody was like, no, since you married a pastor, you know, you won't travel. You won't live. Be at peace. You know, they were preparing you for suffering. Be at peace. You won't travel nothing. You know, when others are going to go to Dubai, you will just be here. So be fine with that. You know, but I'd already told my wife that in our lineage, we serve a God who partners with his people. Yeah. We serve a God who's faithful. And that's what I'm saying to you. Yeah. And so when we went to that breakfast or lunch, we already knew that you can't, prosperity is for those who serve God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I might not have taken it to Dubai. Oh, but the tickets are almost bought. Hallelujah. Hey. Who said pastors don't? You know you. Is it you in there? All right. So are you going to Dubai? Hey, when I focus on the sermon, all the things I've said. You're just hearing this one about Dubai. Hallelujah. Amen. Budget. Okay, what? Budget. Yeah. Right? So, he says, I'll bless, Lord, you bless me. You are the priority of my life. Number four, realize that partnership is good work. Partnership is what? It's good work. That's why God is looking for partners, because partnership is good work. Philippians chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. You know, I remember this scripture so many times people say that, and he that began a good work in you shall complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Have you heard it? But let's find out contextually, because the text must always match the context of the text. Huh? Yeah, the scripture should not say something today which it did not mean when Paul was writing it. So you have taken and said, he that began a good work in me shall complete it. What was the good work that was begun? For you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ. Huh? So it was the work of partnership. The context. From the time you first heard. So your partnership starts the day you get born again. Hey. When does partnership start? Yeah. So from the time you receive this gospel, from the time you become a VIP, from the time you become an intentional church member, partnership starts. There's no cooling period. Now that you have heard, others must go here. Right? So you have been my partners in spreading the good news about Christ from the first time you heard it until now. These guys have been partnering from the time they heard until now. Next verse. And I'm certain that God who began the good work within you, it was the good work of partnership that God began. He says that he will continue it until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. In other words, partnership does not stop because of what you are going through. Partnership stops when you get to heaven. You know, there are people that were pastor in this season, I can't even pay my tithe. That's wrong. I said that's wrong. Be corrected. I said that's wrong. Be corrected. You don't stop paying tithe because of what's happening in your life.
Yes, sir.
Hello? No, pastor, things are tight. So even God understands. It's you who's creating your own scripture. You continue until the day of Jesus Christ. So pastor, when things are tight, what should I do? Pay your tithe. Ah, pastor, doesn't God understand? Show me a verse that says God understands. We see scriptures that say he will continue this work until the perfect day. So partnership is good work. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so that's the good work. You've been partners in spreading the good news. God is looking for partners to spread the good news. Amen. Are you one of the partners?
Yes, sir.
Will you be one of the partners?
Yes, sir.
Don't wait until when I get my first million. Start today. What can I give from where I am? Because I want you to look at Peter. You remember Peter? In Luke chapter 5, Jesus needed a boat. Peter didn't have money. He partnered with Jesus with a boat. Jesus gave him a catch of fish, right? Later on, Jesus needed a house. Capernaum, Mark chapter 2, Peter made his house available for Jesus to do his crusade. That was partnership. Later on, Peter comes and says that silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have, I give you. He gave the man healing because that's what he had. Then later on, Peter comes to Jesus and says, we have left all to follow you. And Jesus says, if you have left all to follow me, you shall receive houses, lands, and everything. Does that make sense? So at every level, you have something to partner. At every level. At every day of your life, every state of your life, you've got something to partner. If you don't have money, you've got other things to partner. But today I'm talking about financial partnership. Hallelujah. Amen. So you remember, Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 to 17. In the CEV. Remember point number 5, that partnership is continuous. It's what? Yeah, it's not once. It's not a hit and run thing. Okay, are you there? So if you decide to partner with God, it's a lifelong, it's a continuous process. It's like marriage. It's continuous. My friends at Philippi. Partners are friends. Yeah, Paul didn't say my friends to the Corinthians. In fact, those ones he rebuked. He wrote 2 letters to shout. Paul didn't. Do you remember the Colossians? He was even saying, who has bewitched you people? God, yes. You know. But the Philippi church, he corrected the book of Philippians was Paul writing to his partners. Yeah, that book was not, I can do all things is for partners. And my God shall supply all your need is for partners. Yeah, Romans, God is not supplying nothing. Romans, you guys need to understand that grace is not a license to sin. Corinthians, you guys, what are you doing? Walk in love, please, I beg. Huh? Colossians, who has bewitched you? Ephesians, we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Colossians, in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Thessalonians, you guys, as you have believed since the beginning, continue in it. Do not defraud one another. In all things, give thanks. Timothy, my son, fight the good fight. Titus, I left you in Crete to set things in order. Philemon, you owe me your very life. Receive Onesimus. You understand what I'm saying to you? Hello, somebody. When it came to Philippians, it was like, let me give you the good stuff. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. When it came to partners, he was like, my God shall supply your need. When it came to the Philippians, he was like, my friends. He was like, my friends, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, make your request known to God. You understand what I'm saying to you? When he's writing to his partners, he gives them extra potatoes, extra salad. He gives them extra juice. Yeah, listen to me. I'm not trying to, but we pray for our partners a little bit extra. Oh, because they help us advance the purpose of Jesus Christ. Every day we pray for our partners in our church. Those who pay tithe, those who partner, like ayaya, the tongues change. A grosta, a kanda, ayaya. Before we get to those, pastor, pray for me. Hey, when I, right, wait, just hold on. Lord, increase our partners 10 times. Yes. If you don't like it, look at Paul. There's my friends at Philippi. You remember what it was like when I started preaching the good news in Macedonia. After I left there, you were the only church. You were the only church. You were the only man, the only woman who partnered with me by giving blessings and receiving them in return. Even when I was in, come on now, Thessalonica, it didn't matter which province I was in. You helped me more than once. Hello, somebody. I am not trying to get something from you with this teaching. Maybe this is your only Sunday where you came to church. You know, like, imagine, for 2 hours, the pastor was telling us. I am not trying to get something from you, but I want you to receive what? The blessings that come from giving. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. I want you to receive the blessings that come from giving. Hallelujah. Are we done with this one? All right, let's go to the next one. So remember that partnership is continuous. He says, even when I was in Thessalonica, you see, it didn't stop. Hello? It didn't what? Okay, you are a student. God bless you. You graduate, you get a job in Durban for some reason. For some reason. You get a job in Durban for some reason. Right? Don't stop partnering with the church. He says, even when I was in Thessalonica,
I pray that you have been transformed by the powerful message. Thank you for tuning in to the Pastum Tour podcast. Shalom.